Looking around on the bus, there were five people reading the Harry Potter book. I just thought, wow, that's amazing. Not that people were reading, but that J.K. Rowling was obviously so phenomenally successful. This one might get a few more hands. How many of you have seen one of the Harry Potter films? Yes, a few more hands up. That's more like it. Now, can I just check with the people who've read the book? So this is the people who read the book. Did you stop reading, whichever of the Harry Potter books it was, did you stop reading before the last chapter? Anybody stop reading the book before the last chapter? Okay, those who watched the film, how many of you left 15 minutes before it ended? No. Somebody? You left before it ended? Got too scared. That's a good reason. That's a very good reason. Should have taken Annabelle with you. So, right. We want to know the ending, don't we? When there's a great story, we want to know the ending. We want to know what happens. Now, many people know that Jesus died on the cross, which we remember on Good Friday. We eat hot cross buns, after all, don't we? But that wasn't the end of the story. We'd be missing out on the best bit if we stopped at Good Friday. Although I happen to like hot cross buns. Just want to mention that. The crucifixion took place on the Friday. And we know that Jesus died around 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the ninth hour. Joseph of Arimathea went to Pilate and asked if he could have Jesus' body so it could be taken down from the cross and buried in a tomb before it got dark, because Sabbath for the Jews starts when it gets dark on Friday. And it would have been bad, unclean, if the body had been on the cross at sunset and going into the Sabbath. Well, Sabbath then carries on all the way through Saturday daytime, and we get to Saturday evening, and we start the next day, the first day of the week. Starts on Saturday evening, and then, of course, Sunday morning, the sun rose. So Good Friday was the first day, the Sabbath was the second day, and Sunday was the third day. And early on the Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb. They'd set their smartphone alarms early, and they went to the tomb with spices that they prepared. And they were going to wrap these around Jesus' body. And they tended to wrap long strips of cloth around a dead person, sort of. And so they were going to put handfuls of spices and wrap round. And that would make the tomb smell fragrant and diminish the bad smells that would come. It was the last act of love that the women could do for Jesus. And they went very early and reached the tomb. And they found the large stone that had been rolled across the mouth of the tomb had been rolled away. And that's not easily done. Normally, these large stones would be set in a sort of groove that rolled downhill to finish and complete the tomb. So to roll it back up the slope was hard. So they were probably quite puzzled as to why the stone had been rolled back for them. But they may have thought, well, perhaps the guys knew that we were coming and they've done that, so we don't have to go and get anyone to help us and we won't have to struggle with it on our own. And so they go into the tomb. We don't know how many women exactly there were. There wouldn't have been masses of space in the tomb, but they probably squeezed in and they found the body was missing. And suddenly there were two men in dazzling clothes who came and stood with them. Traditionally, in the Bible, we often meet two men in dazzling attire and we know that they're angels. We're often clued in if there's two of them. And the women were scared. And they bowed their faces to the ground. Why do you look for the living among the dead? The angel said. He's not here. He's risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Luke tells us rather simply, then they remembered Jesus' words. I would guess the women were sad and tired. It had been quite a week. They'd entered Jerusalem on a high on Palm Sunday a week before. There was a festival atmosphere. There'd been some problems with the religious authorities following that, but the people were still keen to hear what Jesus had to say, although the religious leaders were trying to trap him. There'd been the celebration of the Passover meal in that upstairs room where Jesus had washed the disciples' feet. He'd broken bread and shared the cup of wine. And then Judas had betrayed him in the garden where they'd gone to pray. There was the mock trial and then the flogging and the crucifixion. It must have seemed to them that all was lost. Jesus dead, dead and buried in a cold stone tomb. But the words of the angels resonate. Something is stirred in the memories of the women. Do they immediately believe that Jesus has risen? I don't know if they did. I think it would have been too much to take in. But we do know that the women returned to the disciples. There was nothing to do with the spices. Perhaps they could get their money back in Sainsbury's the next day. But they went to the disciples and told them what had happened. The men didn't believe the women because their words seemed like nonsense. I don't know how many people have ever preached on the verse. Their words seemed to them like nonsense. But effectively, that's what I'm preaching on this morning. These words that Jesus had risen, they must sound like nonsense. If you don't believe, if you've never heard the story before, Jesus, human, flogged, crucified, dead and buried, rose from the grave. Does that make any sense? Who here likes football? Anybody like football? Any team supporters here? Who do you support? Reading Football Club. Good man. Who else supports Reading here? There's got to be a few. Oh, it is quite a few. But well done. Well done. Yeah. Any other teams supported here? England. Whoa. Leicester City. Yes. Yes. Yeah, I'm living with Mrs. Smug at the moment. Let's hope they make it to the end of the season. Anybody else? Sorry, is that a football team? Hartlepool United. Well, I'm going to tell you a little snippet. Yes, Thomas, who do you support? Chelsea. Let's go back to Hartlepool, shall we? I was happy with Hartlepool. Right, who knows, your trivia question for this morning, who knows the name of the player who scored the fastest hat-trick in English league football? And you know where I come from, and that's a clue. It's James Hayter, who was playing for Bournemouth. On the 24th of February 2004, James came off the substitutes bench in the 84th minute of the match and scored 3 goals for Bournemouth against Wrexham in less than 2 minutes 20 seconds. Less than 140 seconds, 3 goals for Bournemouth against Wrexham. Why am I telling you that? Well, I support Bournemouth and they're great. Okay. No, seriously. Seriously. His parents, James Hayter's parents, were at the match. But they lived on the Isle of Wight. James was still on the substitutes bench. So they thought, might as well go and get an early ferry. They didn't think he'd come on, let alone score a goal or score three. It would have seemed like nonsense. You wouldn't believe it could happen, would you? So they went home and missed it all. Do you believe that Jesus rose from the tomb? Do the words seem like nonsense to you? If you're listening to this story for the first time, could you really think that someone would rise from death, particularly after all that he'd been through? If it does seem like nonsense to you, then might I suggest that you need to do what Peter did on that first Easter Sunday. He got up and ran to the tomb. He wanted to see for himself. He needed to find out for himself. He went to the tomb. He saw the empty grave clothes, and that left him wondering. Well, you cannot step into the tomb as Peter did, although there is still a tomb that you can visit in Jerusalem. But you'd have to go there, and obviously you can't see empty grave clothes in quite the same way that Peter could. But like Peter, it'll leave you wondering if you think about the empty tomb. How will you know what happened? How will you be able to believe that Jesus rose again on that first Easter Sunday morning? Well, I'll tell you what you need, and it's what Peter had, and that was an encounter. An encounter with the risen Lord Jesus. That's what you need. Read the rest of Luke chapter 24 after the service or when you get home, because we haven't quite finished the story. If you don't think you've got a Bible at home, take one of the church Bibles home. Please bring it back sometime, but take it home. It's that important. You need to read it. Luke chapter 24. Don't just stay wondering. When you reach out to Jesus, when you read about the disciples encountering him and you think, I need to encounter Jesus too, pray simply to him, Jesus, if you're alive today, show me that you're real. I want to believe in you, Lord Jesus. Later that day, Peter and the other disciples had an encounter with the risen Jesus. He came and stood among them in the middle of a locked room. Peter needed that encounter with the risen Lord to believe he was alive. And then Peter committed himself to serving Jesus for the rest of his life. And as he did, the reality of Jesus' presence with him grew. Just a few weeks later, at Pentecost, the day that the Holy Spirit was poured out on the first believers in Jerusalem, Peter preached a sermon that converted 3,000 people. 3,000 people came to faith in the risen Lord Jesus on that day. And then, following that, Peter and John healed a man who'd been crippled from birth in the name of Jesus. I don't know where you are today. Maybe you're really rejoicing that Jesus rose again on that first Easter Sunday. Hallelujah, that's great if that's you. But if you're wondering about Jesus, whether he really did rise from the death, maybe for you, Easter is just about chocolate, or for those who came to the early service, a simple breakfast after our sunrise service of toast, smoked salmon and scrambled eggs. We know how to rough it at St. James. If you're wondering about Jesus and if he's really risen, you need to wonder about it. You need to check it out. You need to reach out to Jesus for an encounter with him. And then when you experience the risen Jesus and his love for you, I pray that you will commit yourself to him, you'll find a joy unlike anything else that this world gives, and you'll start to live the life that God created you for. Jesus is alive today. Hallelujah. Let's pray. I have a sense that there may be someone here that hasn't been sure about Jesus up to now, and actually the it's like the scales falling off your eyes. You're starting to see the truth. And I'm going to lead a prayer this morning, which you might want to echo in the stillness of your heart. And if you do, and you need to perhaps talk to me about it afterwards, and I can give you some stuff to help you. Lord Jesus Christ, thank you that you loved me so much. You were prepared to die for me. I turn away from the bad stuff in my life, and Lord, you know what that is. I know those things are not right, and I'm sorry for them. And I do truly ask your forgiveness. Thank you that you died on the cross for me so that I could be totally forgiven, the slate wiped clean. I can make a new start. Today, Lord Jesus, I want to invite you into my life. Jesus, risen Jesus, I ask you to come in. Show me that you're real. Fill me with your Holy Spirit to help me lead the kind of life that deep down I know I was created to lead. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.